So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, the perfection of renunciation, text number 19. Jnanam karma chakarta cha prochite guna tridaiva guna vedata prochite guna sankhyane Itavat chinu tanyapi Jnanam karma chakarta cha Chidaiva guna vedata Prochite guna sankhyane Itavat chinu tanyapi Jnanam karma chakarta cha Vidaiva guna vedata Prochite guna sankhyane Itavat shinu tanyapi Jnanam karma chakarta cha Vidaiva guna vedata Prochite guna sankhyane Itavat shinu tanyapi Jnanam knowledge karma work cha also karta worker cha also trida of three kinds eva certainly Gunavedata, in terms of different modes of material nature, Prochite, are said, Gunasankhyane, in terms of different modes, Yatavat, as they are, Srinu, here, Tani, all of them. Api, also. Translation purported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. According to the three different modes of material nature, there are three kinds of knowledge, action, and performer of action. Now hear of them from me. Please repeat. According to the three different modes of material nature, there are three kinds of knowledge, action, and performer of action. Now hear of them from me. Report. In the 14th chapter, the three divisions of the modes of material nature were elaborately described. In this chapter, it was said that the mode of goodness is illuminating. Oh, in that chapter, it was said that the mode of goodness is illuminating. The mode of passion, materialistic. The mode of ignorance, conducive to laziness and indolence. All the modes of material nature are binding. They are not sources of liberation. Even the mode of goodness, one is conditioned. In the 17th chapter, the different types of worship by different types of men, different modes of material nature, were described. In this verse, the Lord says that he wishes to speak about the different types of knowledge, workers and work itself according to the three material modes. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shnivadi Paskatyade Siddharane. The last chapter is a summary of all the other chapters, and a good part of the summary deals with the three modes of material nature. So the question is, if we're interested in transcendence, why is Krishna so interested in three modes? Why do we have to hear about the mode of goodness, the mode of passion, ignorance? Why not just at least the mode of goodness? Why not just transcendence? As I've explained before, if one wants to... What's that? Yes, well, it's a bona fide question. Arjuna asked questions, so I'm allowed to ask questions. As I've said before, just like if we want to fly from here to, say, England, then the first thing we do is we have to go to the airport. To try to fly to England from the roof of this building would be rather difficult. The planes may come by, and we may attempt to get on them, but it's very unlikely we're going to succeed. Similarly, from the modes of ignorance and passion, it is actually very difficult to think about Krishna. And since the aim is to become Krishna conscious, first thing we do is have to think about Krishna. If we don't think about Krishna, how is it possible to be Krishna conscious? So in the mode of ignorance, we're always lamenting. It's called depression. We feel bad. Things are bad, and they're only going to get worse. I'm bad, and everyone else is worse. And in the mode of passion, we're hankering. I want to enjoy, if I get this, if I make this arrangement, then I'll become happy and I can enjoy. So these are always agitating our minds. As Krishna says, Apuryamanam achalam pratishtam samudram apa pravishanti advat tadvat kama yam pravishanti sarve se shantim apnoti nakama kami. Person who's not Puryamanam Achala Pratishtam. Person who's not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, into an ocean which is always being filled but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. Vihaya kamiyak sarvam pumam shardi nispriha nirmamo nirhankara sashantim adigachati. Vihaya kama, one who gives up lust, desire, material desire to enjoy. Vihaya kamiyak pumam shardi nispriha, desires. Nirmamo, who doesn't think himself a proprietor, nirhankara, who has no false ego, he can alone achieve real peace. So, Maya is always inviting us to become attached to some material conception, either in ignorance or in passion, or in goodness. As Prabhupada writes, the problem with goodness is that sometimes when our minds are undisturbed, we think, now I'm in goodness, I'm better than everyone else. Look at all those rascals out there, how disturbed they are. Look how peaceful I am, how enlightened I am. Not only that, these rascals, although I'm so advanced, they don't even recognize me. So this is the, but in real goodness, there's, that's also ignorance and passion. In other words, in goodness, so-called goodness, it's not that Maya just gives up and says, oh, you're a good person, I'll leave you alone. When Gop Kumara was going through the different situations, Gop Kumara was introduced to Krishna consciousness on this planet. He was a cowherd boy in Vrindavan, and a great personality was there, and he was very, very kind to the cowherd boys there. One day he gave Gop Kumara the Gopal mantra and then disappeared. So Gop Kumara didn't have any idea what this mantra was, but he chanted it and he saw some blue cowherd boy. And since he was a cowherd boy, he liked him. He seemed like a nice cowherd boy. And he became attached to chanting the mantra, although he had no idea what it was all about. Gradually, in the course of time, he went from one situation to the next. On this planet, he became a king in different places. He became the king in Jagannath Puri. He heard about Indraloka. By the power of the Gopal mantra, he went to Indraloka. He became Indra. He went to Mahaloka. He went to Tapaloka. He went to Siddhaloka. He went to Brahmaloka. He went into the coverings of the universe, through earth and water and fire and air and ether. And in every place, Maya was there, ready to offer him material opulence and enjoyment, including last covering. Maya appeared as sex personified and offered to surrender to him for his enjoyment. But he decided not to stay around, and then he went into the past the coverings of the universe into Brahman. And there he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even in Brahman, but he was had this tendency to merge into him. And he escaped from there and went to Shiva Loka. And only in Shiva Loka was there actually desirelessness. There wasn't full association with Krishna, externally at least, but there is constant glorification of Krishna by Lord Shiva and his associates and nothing else. So it's considered halfway between the spiritual world and the material world. Finally, he went to Vaikuntha, and from there everything was progressively upward. Vaikuntha, Ayodhya, Dwarka, and finally he came to Krishna Loka. But the point is that, generally speaking, unless we become fixed in the realization that we should fix our minds upon Krishna and not become deviated by other things, then we have a tendency to become deviated. Now the point is that generally in the material world, there is a prospect or an offering of material happiness. Otherwise, no one would stay around. We're hoping against hope that somehow or another there's going to be a nice arrangement. Therefore, Krishna says, Vishaya Vinivartante, Niraharasideinam, Rasavarjam Rasopyasya, Param Drishva Nivartate. That the invited soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains, but ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, one becomes fixed in consciousness. So the point is, if we chant Hare Krishna, ideally we should be in ecstasy. We should be feeling our senses should immediately become purified so that everything we see not only is in relationship to Krishna, but it's all pleasurable. Every sight, every sound, every smell, every thought, everything is pleasurable and is all connected with Krishna, because Krishna is a reservoir of unlimited pleasure. And everything becomes pleasurable in relationship to Krishna. But we chant Hare Krishna. Maybe I can say I chant Hare Krishna sometimes, and there is no ecstasy. And therefore it's very difficult to think, why am I wasting my time chanting these rounds? I'm not getting anything from it. Except maybe, Prabhupada said, it's stimulating our digestive system. Or for those who can't get sleep, it awards them deep sleep in any place at any time. So one may question, why am I not getting any taste when I'm chanting? Well, the point is, am I really chanting to Krishna? I may be chanting some names, but do I really believe that's Krishna present? Do I believe that Srimati Radharani is present? And do I think, when I say Hare Krishna, is that all there is to it? Or have I actually become serious about calling out to Srimati Radharani and Krishna, not with lamentation, probably like a child calling for its mother. The child calls for its mother with a combination of love and separation. The spiritual world is a place of unalloyed joyfulness. And as Prabhupada said, if we want to become, enter into fire, then we have to become like fire. If you're not fire and enter into fire, you'll get burnt. The sun god doesn't worry about too much sunlight. He gets plenty of sunlight and it doesn't bother him. Similarly, all the residents of the sun planet, they have no vitamin D shortage. They get plenty of sunlight. Nor do they have to worry about skin cancer from the sun, because they have the same quality of fire as the sun has. No one ever gets sunburn on the sun planet. So, if we want to enter into water, we have to become like water. Similarly, if we want to enter into the spiritual platform of experience, we have to become like that platform. Otherwise, we'll simply be hankering and lamentation. It's not the, as it says in that verse, apurimana machala pratishtam, it's not the hankering and lamentation that goes through our minds that's the problem, it's our attachment to it. It's the chanting Hare Krishna, and the mind wanders, and we wander with it, rather than just concentrating on the chanting and trying to improve the chanting. It's not supposed to be pleasurable all the time, sadhana bhakti. If it was pleasurable all the time from the very beginning, then there would be no impetus to make any progress. We think, I'm already there. And unless we actually have a very deep desire to please Krishna, our being there would not be very fruitful. Because we're supposed to increase our desire. It's the increase of desire that increases the relationship with Krishna. In the spiritual world, at every moment, their desire is increasing to serve Krishna and please Him. And Krishna's desire to please His devotees is also increasing. It's dynamic. But if we want some static situation, either in the material world or in the spiritual world, it's either materialism or impersonalism. Therefore, being in the material nature is not a disqualification for advancing devotional service. It's another opportunity. In the spiritual world, the impetus is the spontaneous love that the devotees have for Krishna. Here, we don't have spontaneous love, but we're certainly inspired by those who are more advanced than we are. And at the same time, when we're not so inspired, material nature inspires us indirectly by putting us into difficulty, so that we can become inspired to take shelter of Krishna. Because if we think our difficulty, as in the mode of ignorance, is our happiness, that's very unfortunate, because it's very unlikely for those in the mode of ignorance who think that happiness is in the mode of ignorance. If they think their life is successful if they get a good night's sleep, They watch all kinds of violent movies and take intoxication. They think they're making advancement. They think this is happiness. Well, that's very unfortunate, because then one will think that goodness, which is the stepping stone towards actual transcendence, is rather boring. They have no idea is that when the senses are purified, then there's automatically happiness. And even in passion, when one has some energy towards trying to obtain something in the material world, even that mode of material nature, because one's senses are not purified, one strives for happiness, while in the mode of goodness, or pure goodness especially, happiness is automatic. There's no question of, especially in transcendence, in Krishna consciousness, there's only happiness. But at least we have to try for goodness. So therefore Krishna will give us the activities, the intelligence, the knowledge, the determination, the worker, and the mode of goodness. So that we could try to work in the mode of goodness, we could try to have determination in the mode of goodness, we could try to have knowledge in the mode of goodness, intelligence in the mode of goodness. And that way, from the mode of goodness, it's much more easy to chant Hare Krishna sincerely, happily. Because there's without disturbance, and one is naturally happy. And one chants Hare Krishna with some feeling of wanting to associate with Radha and Krishna. When the consciousness actually becomes aware of the nature of the sound vibrations in connection with Krishna, that they're all spiritual, then naturally one will want to participate in such activities more and more. And just like you put the iron in the fire, it gets hotter and hotter and hotter, and then gradually it takes on the same qualities as the fire does. So the more we associate with Krishna and his associates, the names, their forms, their quality, their pastimes, the quality of spiritual life, then the more we become absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And if we think that there is any limit to this happiness and the awareness, the enlightenment that comes, well, we're wrong. Because even Krishna, at every moment, is becoming more enlightened and more blissful. So what to speak of our little tiny selves? How much happiness can we actually experience? There's no limit to it. So it's simply up to us to see if we can understand that we're eternal by the introduction from the Bhagavad Gita, that there is a Supreme Person, and that the quality of the Supreme Person is that he's the source of everything, so he's the source of all happiness, he's the source of all beauty, strength, knowledge, etc. And if we want to be happy, if we want to experience the opulence that we're looking for, then it has to be in relationship to that original Supreme Person. And unless we understand the nature, the modes of nature also, then we won't understand if we're in a certain mode or not. Unless we have the symptoms, you don't know what the disease is. So Krishna will give us the symptoms. The thing is, the main problem in the material nature is we don't care. Oh, we do care, but we're in the mode of ignorance. We're helpless. We don't know how to get out of it. Nor do we have a very strong determination to get out of it. Nor do we want to find out about it. But for those who have some knowledge, then if we read Bhagavad Gita, then we can see how the illusory energy is affecting us. And when we see it, then we can chant Hare Krishna. We can actually chant Hare Krishna and pray to Krishna to give me your association so I can come to my original state of serving you rather than being affected by serving these lower modes of material nature. Or in passion, when we're working hard to achieve something in the material world for ourselves, for our own happiness, then we can notice that and see, why am I wasting my time? Even if I get something, I'll never be happy by getting it. Instead, I'll be unhappy when I lose it, which is inevitable. And even the mode of goodness, if one is peaceful, if one is understands things more clearly, but if one is not Krishna conscious, if one is not feeling the happiness of associating with Krishna and the love for Krishna and everyone else, then one will certainly become bored in the mode of goodness and seek happiness somewhere in the modes of ignorance and passion. So only by understanding the symptoms of the modes of nature, including goodness, can we become fixed in goodness and eventually become fixed in Krishna consciousness. As we try to become perform our activities in the mode of goodness, become fixed in Krishna consciousness and pure devotional service, so that we can ultimately transcend all the modes of material nature and become situated in the spiritual, in our spiritual relationship with Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
So, is it better to for us to try and cultivate people towards transcendental activities, or just that they would elevate themselves towards Krishna?
Without, in this age, without transcendental activities, there's no question of coming to goodness. Without chanting Hare Krishna, without hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, without worshipping the deities, no one is going to come to the mode of goodness in this age.
So first we should go for this, and then the goodness will come gradually.
Well, we tell people what the mode of goodness is while they're performing their devotional activities. Just like when we're worshipping the deities, we wash our hands. Before we take prasadam, we wash our hands. It's part of our service to Krishna, but we serve Him primarily in the mode of goodness. We're not cultivating goodness separately from Krishna consciousness, but that's the mode that Krishna wants us to serve in generally. It's part of our service. Just like if you're going to serve the king his meal, you have to have it on a plate. So the plate is part of the service. You can't say, my dear king, I want to serve you. What do I need to play for? Here. Here's the prasadam. Put your hands out. So the plate is, just having a plate is not serving the king, but it's something to put the prasadam on so you can serve the king this meal. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Granthiraj Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande.